At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.
Hey guys, welcome to the Cloud Crew Podcast. You're here with Sebastian, or Cole, whatever you'd like to call me. And then I'm also here with K-Dub. Go ahead and mention it.
What's up, guys? I'm K-Dub. You can call me Kenneth K-Dub. It doesn't really matter to me.
Anyway, guys, what we're doing here today is we're simply going to explain a little bit about the podcast itself and then ourselves as well. And then after that, we're going to jump in to today's topic, leading into recent moves in the NBA regarding trades, signing in trades, or just overall off seasons, free agencies. We picked a few main topics that we're going to be going over. But real quick, I want to give y'all a little bit of ideas on what the podcast itself is about. So the podcast itself is going to consist of simply sports opinions, sports debates. We're going to have things such as gameplay. We're going to have a little bit of maybe the opinionated arguments going on. All depends on what is going on that day. We're going to be reviewing some animes. There's just a lot that's going to be going on. It's hard to tell. There's just so many different capabilities and possibilities that we can do. So we're going to kind of leave it also up to the audience to help us out in the journey. Now, about myself, I'm simply someone I believe is a good person. I hope so. I know I can be an ass. I have a little bit of a joking side as well. But I've played sports, I've gamed, and I've also just went out and had a good time, you know? So I'm just an everyday guy just like y'all tuning in to enjoy this great journey. What about you, K-Dub?
K-Dub. Word. I grew up playing video games as well. I played a lot of Call of Duty. I got into the professional scene for a while, tried to play that competitively, but the game pisses me off. It really is one of the biggest driving factors for my rage. And then after that was Fortnite, which I did play semi-professionally. And it was great. I loved it for years. Now the game's kind of washed, but we still play it. It's whatever.
We do. We do.
I played basketball in high school and middle school. I tried to dip my feet into other sports like baseball, football, stuff like that, but I wasn't that exceptionally good at it. Kind of dropped out whenever I felt like it was too challenging. I didn't like it, but I was pretty good at basketball at the time, so I stuck with it.
Understandable. Now, since we gave a little bit about ourselves, I actually want to dive into today's topic. The whole genre and theme for today's topic is off-season trades and signings. The first one I want to lead off here, man, is the freshest one. Karl Anthony Towns to the Knicks.
I think it's a good fit for the Knicks. I think Minnesota really kind of lost the trade in a lot of ways. Even pulling Julius Randle, he's a great player, don't get me wrong, but they gave away their best big. Honestly, he dominated in the paint for them. And without them, I just feel like they're going to struggle in areas that they wouldn't have had they just kept Cat. I mean, we saw them go, to semifinals in the playoffs last year with the lineup that they had, and Cat was injured for most of that. So if you keep Cat on that lineup, then I don't see where you don't improve. But I mean, I guess we'll have to see how it works with Julius Randle.
But it's up there. But I'm gonna be honest with you, I don't think they got back what they were wanting. I know, you know, you got DiVincenzo. How do you pronounce his name?
No fucking idea.
Dante. Well, I'm just gonna call him Dante for this conversation. But Dante, man, he's a shooter, right? He's a wing player. He's a catch and shoot, and that's what they're trying to get out, because that's what they had with Cat. Cat could shoot as a big. No offense. Yeah, I think they made the wrong move. They should have sent Gobert. Send Gobert out of there. Not Cat. Cat's crazily one of the better bigs. One of probably the top three current bigs in
there. Definitely the best big on their team. I mean, working with Rudy Gobert, no offense to him, but he is only considered a good player because everybody else who plays for his country currently aren't that great of players.
No, right. You're right, and no offense to him either. I don't think he deserved the defensive player of the year award. I think it was given to him. Anthony Davis and Wembanyama absolutely were astonishing with defense.
Anthony Davis especially. He was by far the best defensive player in the regular season this year.
Most definitely. But I will say, I think the Knicks were a great part of capitalizing on Cat being offered. Julius Randle has been a piece that they had that they believe was helping them increase their winning. And we seen and they shown last year that they were a contending team. You know, the Knicks did make it into the playoffs, and although they fell short at the end, I mean, it happens.
I mean, they dropped seven players in this trade and only got two, so they could have messed up their bench a little bit, but they mostly kind of just trade the, like, you know, the bottom of the bench players, and then of course Julius Randle and Dante. And yeah, all they got back was Kat and James Naji. He was a draft player.
Yeah, yeah.
But like, got the- you lost seven players, two essential players, and it's gonna be interesting watching them rebuild their entire rotation.
Yeah. Well, the Knicks, they're having to rebuild anyway. You remember they picked up Mikal Bridges as well.
That's true. He
and they lost a big. So replacing Cat definitely is an upgrade from Hartenstein, who they had, you know?
Have you seen the videos of Mikal's new jump shot? He's shooting almost identical to Ben Simmons.
Yeah, that's
kind of a scary thing to see, especially
if anyone shoots like Ben Simmons, I don't think they need to be in the league.
Yeah,
that's my personal opinion. I mean, Mikal Bridges, I know he's going to perform better than Ben Simmons by any.
We hope it's not like he just gets traded and for some reason that just ends his whole career. Really pray that doesn't happen.
But to kind of get back to the main part of the topic, do you think that Cat is going to excel with the Knicks? You think he's going to do better?
I don't think there's any team that you could really stick Cat on that he isn't one of their top scorers, if not the top scorer. Of course, he's going to have other players on the team that are going to be taking the shots more than him, more than likely. He's definitely going to be someone who gets thrown into the post a lot. He's going to have to play around that. He's probably going to have to get out of the habit of having the ball in his hand all the time, because that's just not going to be his role on the Knicks.
True. They do have Jalen Brunson over there, and Jalen Brunson showed last year that he is a phenomenal shooter.
He is.
And he handles the ball pretty well.
He is. And he's a pretty good playmaker, too. So, I think the Knicks will honestly run the offense through him, and they'll rely on Cat to catch the ball in the paint or catch it in a corner.
I think Cat will be a great second option for that.
I still think he's going to probably be like a 20 point per game, 10 rebound player.
I'm going to say he's going to average at least probably like 26, 27 points a game.
He should. He definitely should.
Especially being on the Knicks, where they have such a well-rounded team right now.
Yeah, the only reason I have my figure so low is because I expect it to be a transitional year for him. He's played his whole career with the same team, so going to a new team, being in a new infrastructure,
it was a shock to him too.
Yeah, it was completely off guard.
All right, so I'm gonna go on to the next topic here, and that's gonna be play to the Mavs. Now, I know we've mentioned it before we started the podcast, but go ahead and just kind of give a little bit of your view for Klay Thompson going to the Mavs.
Klay Thompson. Last year was one of the most disappointing players in the league for me. I've been a really large Golden State fan since I was like 11 years old. And last year, in the last game of the play-ins, going 0-for-10-for-3 in the most crucial game of the season for the Warriors, completely killed my love for Klay Thompson. I think that the Mavericks adding him, while will improve their scoring, I feel like their scoring per game is definitely going to be higher. I still feel like they're missing too much to be game winners. I feel like they're going to push the score high, but at the end of the game, they're not going to be able to close it out.
I mean, you do have a point. I will say, like, Klay is getting old. He's not peak performance. We know that.
He's super efficient.
I think Klay, compared to who the Mavs had on the bench anyway, or and who they had started, will bring more veteranship to the team.
Absolutely, he's going to be a great mentor for most of the younger guys.
Exactly, and I think that's going to be a big help. I think with his downfall is he's going to be trying to overdo it to prove that he doesn't need Steph.
Oh, for sure. He definitely is going to try to prove himself as an individual. However, he's not going to be able to do that. It's the same thing fucking KD did. If he thinks he's going to prove himself as an individual, he would have to go to a team like the fucking Brooklyn Nets at this point. Signing with Kyrie Irving and Luka Doncic, you're not proving yourself. You're going to average maybe 12 points per game, max. And
oh, you think he's going to get 12 points a game?
I think he'll come in, bang maybe 4 threes a game, and get benched again. I think that'll be his role.
That is awesome.
But if he makes all four of those threes, that could be, you know, deciding factor for the team, and that's going to be the type of role he's going to be playing.
Yeah, I mean, that could be the difference between, like, 12 to 16 point games.
Yeah, he's going to be that type of player. Whenever they're in a deficit and they need threes thrown up and made, Klay Thompson will be subbed into the game. He will either close the gap or take the lead, and then he'll be subbed back out for their starters and their main crew so that they can maintain the lead. I think that's how he'll be played.
I seen where they were going to be starting him at small forward. Another weird...
I think starting him in general is just a bad move. I don't think he's starter potential right now.
I have to say, who they got, I don't like rocking on their team right now. I don't think I could put him on the bench. I mean...
Is there a better team on the map? I mean, better player on the Mavs? Probably not. But is Klay Thompson, in my mind, good enough to be a starter? No. Not currently. Not with what he is right now. Maybe after a year of developmental with the Maverick system, we could see a whole new rebirth in Klay. Do I see that happening? No, I see him retiring in 2 years.
See, I'm hoping this. This is how it works. Just because hopes and prays for Klay. I do like Klay. Klay performed rough last year, okay, in crucial
but
moments.
To be
he did okay overall for this.
And of course, the argument for it is he's coming off an injury, but like... Okay. It happens to people all the time. He is not performing like he was, and that's just a fact.
No, that's another thing. It's what actually is hard. It's harder to overcome injuries. Like it's harder for
it is, but even with that injury, his value just diminished because of it. It's not his fault. He didn't cause that himself,
but he's still averaging what was it last year somewhere around 16.
I think it was around 16. I could be wrong. I'll look up the figure.
And no offense, I expect him to do that this year. I expect him to at least be averaging around 16, 17 points a game. But I should say that last season he shot some willy-nilly shots trying to force
again,
up 0
for
10 stuff.
In the last game of the,
yes
he's
yes,
shot yes, 0% from the field, 0 for 6 from 3, had 4 rebounds and 1 assist in his last game that he played.
You got the actual stats.
He did so horrible in this game that he literally cost them the game.
But that's gonna be something that he's gonna have to change. And for the Mavs anyway, they are an extremely young team, and their veteran was only really Kyrie Irving.
Their veteran player is Kyrie Irving, which...
And I guess you could say at this point, PJ Washington is a veteran. He's been
yeah, he's a veteran while. Player.
But no offense, he comes off their bench most of the time.
He's not that guy...
But he'll hustle for you.
Absolutely.
I think Klay will be something that helps the Mavs. But I think they're going to lack, just like they did last year, in their bench.
Do you know what I think Klay is going to be for this team? I think Klay is going to be the equivalent of 2015 Cavs Kyle Korver.
That's not right. Kyle Korver was good.
He was, but his role was get thrown into the secondary lineup to sling threes from the fucking corner and make them. That's it. They didn't let him do shit else because when he did it, he fucked it up.
That's okay. That's not completely true. Now you're hurting Kyle Korver.
I'm not saying it was every time that he did it. Kyle Korver is like an elite shooter. He was one of the most consistent shooters ever.
They told man If we pass you the ball, shoot the ball. Okay, he did what they asked.
Yeah, they were like...
Clay's going to be asked probably very similar rules. I'm not going to lie.
He's not the greatest ball handler. Go sit in the corner.
No, man. He's not the best ball handler. He's not the best defender either.
Yeah, his defense...
He kind of gets bullied at small forward.
Stand in front of you and hope that you don't charge past him. Because he's not going to take your front step most of the time.
I think a lot of Clay, to be honest with you, is mentality. I think that's his problem.
I just don't see him getting
I think he's too worried about it. I think he's too worried about becoming washed.
I mean, probably.
Because, no offense, everyone wants to be relevant. It's rough not becoming, like, becoming not relevant, you know? Like, losing that, oh, he's the everything title, you know?
I mean, I quite literally,
he's got so many shooters coming in.
I used to idolize Klay Thompson more than I did Stephen Curry as a child because I felt like he was the more efficient shooter than Curry. Like, he was always making his shots. Curry was throwing up a lot of shots, and he was making insane shit, but if Klay was given the ball, he was banging the shot. So if Curry passed him the ball, it was his shot to make. But, and again, it's not his fault that his ACL tore. Whenever he came back from that, I watched his debut game. He did pretty good. And then, I can't remember if it was like the second or third game back. He did incredible. And I was so happy. And then his next game, I think he dropped like four points. And I was like, uh-oh.
As I said, it is happening. I mean, players are becoming better at defense and stuff. So maybe that could be the reason. Maybe the talent's increasing. And he's mad.
Maybe he just isn't staying caught up with the times. I think Curry's just constantly been ahead of the times with his shooting ability, regardless of what you give other players.
Yeah, but that's also because it's Steph Curry, and Steph Curry's one of the greatest shooters
to
ever live.
He is the greatest shooter to ever live.
I know, there's a debate for it.
Not really anymore. There was in 2015 whenever the fray started getting thrown at him originally, but he eclipses Ray Allen and any other shooter at this point.
But I think it's hard to talk about different eras too. Because no offense,
he would outshoot every single era. If you were to put all of them in a three-point contest, Steph would win it.
I'm not sure about that. I'm not 100% sure. I'm gonna be honest. Just because, like Ray Allen, I've watched his practices. I'm a far believer.
I've watched Steph's
Ray Allen.
I've watched Allen go 200 for 200. If he's winning the contest.
Cap. Ray Allen used to shoot thousands of threes. I don't believe it.
I mean, I'll pull up both of their stats, but I know Steph's three-point stats are just eclipsing the records.
Because he's played longer at this point than Ray Allen did in his career. He's played more seasons. Second thing, in my opinion, for this, and this isn't even the debate we're getting on, so we're going to be switching the topic in a minute.
He has not played more seasons than Ray Allen. Ray Allen played 18 seasons. Steph Curry has not played 18 seasons.
How many seasons? Is it 16 then? I thought it was coming up. But we're also talking about two different times. Ray Allen shot at three at the time it was looked down at. That's a whole different thing. If Ray Allen would have been, let's say, born in this current league,
with his shooting percentages that he was doing back then,
he was shooting as far as Steph was.
I think, back then. Even with that,
I think he would have been a modern day. Prime Klay is how Ray Allen would have been set up.
Yeah, maybe as good as Klay.
I think where Klay excels past Ray Allen as an actual NBA player is not in the shooting category. I think they're both elite shooters, but I like Ray's form. Ray has a quicker release and can get it up in a more swift fashion. Steph literally chucks that at half court. Like it's somebody's baby throwing it downstairs.
He probably has one of the fastest three-point releases ever. Bro doesn't even set up his shot for some reason.
No, it's been time. Ray Allen has the fastest all time. Steph is, I think, one of the top five. No, maybe not top five. Maybe top ten. There's a few people that come up there close. With release timing. But release time is a whole other thing. But quickest release actually goes to Ray Allen. And I think it's under like a .3 per East.
Buddy Hield owns the record, actually.
Oh, does he? When did he break it?
No fucking clue. 2022.
Oh, okay. So it was recent. I hadn't looked since. And it's like 2016.
But I know 2017, Kyle Korver was listed as the fastest. And that was after Ray Allen's retirement.
I don't know why. Because Ray Allen himself, I think his quickest release that he consistently had was like a point. Look up Ray Allen's release time.
I know we're getting off top, guys.
On the pod, it has to circle back, but it's for research purposes, man.
You gotta know.
Especially whenever it's like such precise numbers, things that you just wouldn't know off the top of your head. Ray Allen's release was 0.73 seconds.
I knew it was like less than a second, but it's crazy.
At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.
Let's see what Steph's is.
But the whole thing about Steph and Ray, I think it's hard to argue. One, just like any debate, they're two different positions. You got shooting guard and point guard.
Steph works great with the ball in his hand.
Ray Allen was not a ball in the hand player unless he had any.
And Stephen Curry's release time was recorded at 0.3 seconds faster than Ray Allen's at 0.4 seconds.
I don't know where you're finding this at. Because I looked it up earlier.
Let me see here.
I'm also being given the math on it, which is strange and really weird to read. Sports science, which is like people who actually go into sports. Like the people that make YouTube videos of NBA players and stuff doing random shit. To show how fast they do it and like their wingspans and shit. They recorded Curry's at 0.4. Seconds off of his release timing. Whenever he has the time to set it up and stuff. Like, whenever he's in perfect scenarios, it's 0.4 seconds.
0.4?
Yeah, and Ray's was recorded at, like, 0.76.
That's also not true.
Okay, because I see what we're talking about right now. Steph Curry has one of the fastest release timings, but it is second with a 0.4.
The NBA average is 0.5.
Ray Allen's release timing, 0.38, is what it says here.
Where is that?
That was on the Breakthrough Basketball, and then hold on, let me scroll up.
This just says this one. Because I just read the same thing, I was just on Breakthrough as well. And they also, that's where I read 0.73.
Okay.
Yeah, right here. Breakthrough Basketball. Ray Allen's
release. Separate testing? Maybe the Ray Allen one is like, maybe it was his own testing.
Maybe it's hearsay then.
Then that's my fault. If it's hearsay, I'm sure all of this is hearsay, to be fair.
I really doubt that, because to actually test that to an absolute scientific level, so many factors would have to be excluded from play.
When are they counting it when it leaves your hand?
And you would also have to, when you touch the ball?
Is it a catch and shoot?
I'm not even sure. I'm sure they just hand them the ball, get it like a really nice slow-mo cam, point it at them and try to find exactly how many people got the technology for it.
I mean, hey man, y'all can fact check this. I mean, send it to us if y'all see it yourself or not.
Because I'll be damned if I didn't say I'm ignorant as fuck sometimes.
Yeah, 100%. And that's why I said, going into this, man, a lot of this is our opinion and how we see things.
Yeah. But at the end of this topic, just to close off the 3-point topic, just so we can move on. I think that Stephen Curry eclipses Ray Allen. You may differ from that, but I think
Steph Curry overall career wise does. But I think it's for more than one reason. I think that Stephen Curry has shooting to a point where it's not even a discussion.
For Ray Allen. He's just there, and he's definitely considered.
I wish that he would have been in a different era.
If he was in a different era, for sure.
That's all what if.
Because what if he came in here and he just wasn't athletic?
I think if he came into the modern era,
he would probably end up getting bullied by these huge fucking guys that came out of nowhere.
But that's also another thing to take into consideration. We're gonna have to break this topic.
We'll break it and move on to the Paul George topic in a second.
Paul George, I was going to talk.
What's next? What's next on your list? I don't know what's next.
It was Westbrook.
Westbrook? Westbrook's in my list, too. I'm fucking slow. That's crazy.
No, you're good. But I'll say, Ray Allen, the catch and shoot sometimes isn't always... isn't always preferred for teams. I'm gonna be honest with you. Some teams don't use the catch and shoot anymore.
I'll give Ray Allen this. He has like the most iconic three-pointer of all time.
Yeah,
because he saved the Heat there on the back-cutting shot.
That's the one thing I think he has over Curry. He has the most iconic three-point shot that I've ever seen. That literally saved LeBron's legacy.
I don't think
I really do. If he wouldn't have won that title, I think he would be trash-talked so much more than he is today. I know. Like, just imagine if he lost that title, though.
Yeah.
That's a whole
like other it would have hurt him so bad. I think he would have like when he returned to the Cavs, he would have just returned in like a way lower light than he did. I think that's what it would have caused.
Alright, we're gonna have to
They definitely are. Jokic is a better shooter nowadays for sure, because like what happened to Russell Westbrook? Like he had a okay season. He went to the Wizards, had a great season, but it was the career ending Wizards, right? It was literally you go to the Wizards for your career to die. Yeah. Like everybody who goes to the Wizards, their career for some reason just dies. John Wall gone. Russ not even considered top 5 players anymore. Like, and bro averaged a triple double like 7 years ago for an entire season.
He's doing it now and they're saying he's like it's the best thing. But he's a it would be harder for a point guard to get
a small point guard like Russ too. Isn't he like 5'9"? No, he's like 6'2".
He's 6'2".
The only 5'9 players were like Isaiah Thomas, I'm pretty sure. And like Muggsy Bogues. I'm pretty sure those were the only two players that size.
Yeah. Muggsy Bogues.
He was like 5'3 to 5'6, somewhere in that figure.
He was short.
But bro could yam. Had a crazy fucking vertical on him.
I mean, that's how Westbrook is, man. I think Westbrook will definitely bring like some more passing, but I mean, they already had.
I think the Nuggets will play Westbrook when they have Jokic out of the game. I don't think they'll play them simultaneously.
I think he's really just to have a score on the bench. I'm not gonna lie to you.
He'll
give him something that he can excel at.
He'll be like sixth man of the year or some shit.
Oh my god. Let me find out. Russell Westbrook, sixth man of the year.
Going from averaging a triple-double, breaking a record that was set in stone.
How many points do you think he's gonna average this year?
No more than 13.
No,
I don't think he'll crack 13.
I'd say a solid 12 to 14.
Just based
easily.
Off his previous statistics, I feel like 13 safe.
Yeah. And I mean, you know, he's a passer. He gets assists.
I feel like it's gonna be a lot of bring some ball being movement. Really aggressive, driving to the rim and kicking it to a corner for a shot.
Jamal Murray in the corner, yeah. You're gonna have some super stuff.
Jamal Murray going like 17% from three with the wide open shots from Russ. Fucking Jamal Murray. And Aaron Gordon. I really just don't like those basketball players.
You don't like Aaron Gordon?
I did for a while. I liked him in his Orlando Magic era. But ever since he's been with the Nuggets, I've just found him extremely boring.
That's all he is. He sits back and role plays, man. He stopped forcing himself to get better. He accepted it all. I'm not going to lie. Aaron Gordon? Some of the craziest bounce I've ever seen. Great dunks, bro. Dude. Crazy good dunks. Him and Zach LaVine when they faced off.
Crazy good.
Hot take, but I think he beat Zach LaVine in that dunk contest too.
I think he beat him, but I can say Zach LaVine. Zach LaVine had some.
If they both could have taken a trophy, I would have accepted that for sure. But out of the two, I definitely think Aaron Gordon had the better dunks. Of course, we got the between the legs from the free throw from Zach LaVine. Cool. I've watched street players do that for like 15 fucking years. They've been doing that since like 2001. Of course, no one in the NBA was doing it, but like nobody was getting that crazy.
Well, you risk getting hurt, man.
Yeah.
In the NBA, you risk getting hurt doing the dunk contest and stuff like that.
So like, I just wasn't impressed by it because I've seen it. But, like, Aaron Gordon was coming out and getting creative with it, doing stupid shit that looked cool and was difficult. That's why I thought Aaron Gordon was the better of the two there. But back to Russ.
We need to get off a little bit. But Russ itself, man, Russ is a case. I think the Nuggets are going to get probably second round.
I think he's going to be a huge rebound player. I think that's going to be something huge for Russ, is grabbing rebounds.
It's hard, Zell. I'm kind of waiting for this season to see more about Russ. Russ is an inconsistent player. There's times he does great and times he does weird.
Oh, fucking tell me about it, man.
Turnover times. So as long as he keeps his turnovers low, I think the Nuggets will benefit. But if he does what he did a little bit on the Lakers, and turn over the ball there at the beginning like he did, that was rough.
He can't be averaging four or five turnovers a game. Like, he would just miss the dribble and lose it, or he would bounce it off your toe and stuff. Or he would roll it down the court and it would just roll out of bounds.
And things happen like that.
But like, when it happens consistently to the same person, you start going,
especially at such a high level of performing basketball.
Yeah, you'd think the guy that averaged a triple double, which includes handling and passing the ball, could handle and pass the fucking ball, but whatever.
No. Okay. I'm gonna get huge criticism for this one.
He snapped the fuck out of that triple double average. Yeah,
100%. But okay. I'm not gonna say this. Oh, bro, I'm probably gonna get a message from Alex, knowing Russ is his favorite player. But
Alex, unfortunately, Russ is really washed nowadays, and there's just nothing you can do about that.
But Russell Westbrook, man, he's a character. He's definitely a character, and I think just through his last few teams he's been with, he's shown a little bit of unprofessionalism. But anyways, I'm going to use that to...
Russ averaged 11 points last season.
Yeah.
He's washed, Alex. Washed.
We're going to the next topic. Paul George to the Sixers. So Paul George got a four-year deal. Max contract over to the Sixers.
Knowing Paul George, they'll still be first-round exits because once he touches the playoffs, yeah, playoffs P comes, everybody else on his team disappears, though. Every single time. Anytime Paul George takes over a basketball team and is the best player on the team, it just seems like everybody else forgets what the fuck they're doing. No, I'm not really trying to say he's the best player on the team. That's not necessarily what I'm saying.
No cap.
I was saying his current Paul George
is still probably one of the better shooting guards in the league, for sure.
His competition's not that thick, though. Like, the tops are obviously better than him, but, like, anything under him, it's, like, just not even, like, debatable. Like, a lot of the people that are under him are just, like, you know, bottom of the league type shooting guards.
Gotcha. I was about to say, don't throw out the shooting guard. I can name a lot of
Yeah, like, obviously, there's great shooting guards above Paul George. He's just not the best. But, like,
He's playing with one. I think he might have to play small forward some this year. Don't they got Tyrese Maxey still?
Did Maxey get traded? I don't know.
I'm pretty sure they still have Tyrese Maxey.
Philadelphia also added Andre.
I know they lost Tobias Harris. I think that was the gift.
Where the fuck did he go?
For the actual space. But I think Paul George will improve their defense. I mean, he is a great two-way player. And he does have a three ball on him as well as... Some ball handling capabilities. I think that will help with actually being able to dish the rock. Paul George has really good court vision. Don't get me wrong, some of the other players on the 76ers do too, but I think he brings a level of expertise.
I think he's just going to be a great pairing with Embiid. I honestly think that's where he's going to excel, is having Embiid on his team.
I think they're going to become, because he's going to have a big. I mean, look, now this is kind of a weird take on it, but like, for instance, LeBron and AD, right? Paul George's not as good as LeBron. But no offense, right now, Embiid is bigger than AD. Or arguably better than AD.
He's probably better than AD right now. Current AD.
Just because AD has issues with health and stuff.
The most fragile player.
Embiid does too when it comes to playoffs. You're wrong.
I feel like he just ducks the playoffs. I don't even think he's getting injured anymore. It's been so consistent that he just skips the playoffs.
He's like, hey man.
It's like he gets scared of him.
I think I think it's gonna hurt his career.
His whole thing is about being the most dominant center in this era.
Paul George and Joel Embiid don't.
But I think that's why they're teaming up.
If they don't win a chip in this next 4 year stint that Paul George has signed, I think that kills all of Embiid's like popularity momentum. It probably won't kill his career because you know he's still gonna be a huge fucking player.
But it's gonna tarnish
his legacy.
Imagine being the most dominant center in your era and not being able to win.
And adding a piece like Paul George because he's still an all-star.
Dude, he's averaging 20 something points a game. You throw that in with having been some of your other players like Maxey and stuff, also averaging 20 points a game. I mean, that's three players right there. Embiid last year averaged what, like 30 something?
It was some huge figures, but to be fair, he was the primary scorer on his team. I don't think he played very much last year, did he? Wasn't he injured for a portion of it?
A few games he was. Now, the parts that he really got injured and messed with the team is in the playoffs. As I said, he does it every year. He gets hurt in the playoffs. So hopefully, playoffs, he comes in.
34.7. 38.8% 3, 52 from the field goal.
And I think in the league, a lot of teams are averaging roughly 80 to 100 points, a game as a team. If you look at those three players averaging, and let's say they combat well, they're all doing really well, they're contributing to one another. MB drops another 30. It'll probably drop to like 28 or something.
The 76ers also have Kelly Oubre Jr. and
They picked up seven players.
They picked up
Reggie Jackson too.
He was cool in what was it like 2021 when he played against the Suns on the Clippers.
When he was on the Clippers,
pretty cool player. But ever since then, the fuck has Reggie Jackson done? He's been an okay role player, I think.
But that's why they're getting him. They're getting depth on their bench as well.
I think they're also going to use Paul George as kind of a moving piece
to help their play style change.
Paul George only averaged 19.5 points last season. That's not bad by any means, but I just thought he averaged more, to be honest.
Well, he got hurt.
That's fair.
He got hurt, and then there were a few really bad games. I'm not going to lie.
I'm not surprised by that.
I was watching one game, man, and let's just say it looked rough. James Harden looked like he was carrying Paul George tied to it.
In his last game against Dallas, he went 2-for-10 from 3-point.
As I said, he had a few rough games at the end of the season.
How many games did he play last year? Does it say anywhere here? I don't know if it does.
Last year, I'm going to say around 42 games. I think he played.
I'd believe it. That looks like more than 42. Maybe
you know he could have played more. He could have played like 60 games.
I'd say 60 tops.
Top side. I think he was out for at least over 20 games this season. I want to say.
He missed 74 games in 2023 and 24.
Yeah, he was injured, man.
Wait,
remember?
He played 74 games. That means he missed eight. He missed 8 games last year.
Last year? Maybe it was the year before. No, it was the year before he was hurt, wasn't it?
That would make sense.
Okay. That makes sense. I mean, it does. It does. But I think Paul George is going to be something that we're going to see. Kawhi were both injured at the same time, weren't they? Yeah.
And they had Russell Westbrook,
James Harden.
No, they still have James. Russ left. James slimmed out some too. I'm curious to see what he'll do this year.
I'm not gonna lie to you. I don't have no hope for the Clippers.
I don't either. But it would be nice to see them do something with their legacy that they've been trying to establish for years.
Yeah, no offense. I think they're just hurting Kawhi. Kawhi hurts himself by staying.
To be honest, Kawhi's legacy has been trash since he left. He left the Spurs. Yeah. If he would have just stayed, of course the Raptors ring was cool, but he got one with the Spurs.
No, that's his own.
Oh yeah, the other one was.
The
Timmy
one he
D's
got
ring.
Before was not.
His. Yeah, it was Timmy.
Yeah, I don't claim Timmy D's ring.
But
because Timmy D, Tony Parker, I mean Ginobili, those guys
We're something.
Why is Toronto run? Yeah, he hit a crazy three-point to win the game. Against a full injured Warriors lineup. Injured KD, injured Klay, Steph playing at like 30%. You beat them, but you beat one of the worst renditions of the Warriors we've ever seen. You didn't do anything impressive. If all three of their players were there, they would have got fucking washed. When all three Warriors players played healthy in that series, they washed the Raptors right after their injury started.
Oh no, the Warriors got no doubt.
I mean, you've seen how LeBron had handled it playing against them. Did LeBron ever lose against the Raptors?
I'm pretty sure he had an undefeated record against the Raptors.
I wouldn't doubt it.
I'm pretty sure he made it a mission to never lose against that team.
I wouldn't doubt it. Now I'm going to circle on to the next topic, though, just because we are getting a little bit shorter on time here. But I want to talk about DeMar DeRozan. With the sign-and-trade to the Kings.
Can I just add one more point to that last Raptors?
Oh, yeah.
In the 20 years that he's played, he's lost 16 total games to the Raptors. In 20 years, he's lost 16 games to the Raptors.
Less than one per year.
Why don't doubt him?
No offense. Raptors.
Even whenever they were a good team, like one of the more average teams in the league.
Toronto Raptors shit on them.
And he would make it a message every time to do it. He fucking hated them.
Toronto Raptors, anyways, is rough. Their franchise isn't necessarily.
They're the only Canadian franchise, and it's just not working. Bring back the Seattle Sonics.
Seattle Sonics were fired. They weren't even the Toronto Raptors.
No, I was just saying get rid of the Raptors, bring back the Sonics. Fuck the Raptors.
That's a rough take.
The fuck do they have this year?
Okay, going to the DeMar DeRozan. I'm not arguing.
Oh yeah, I can spin back on the Raptors there too. They lost DeMar DeRozan.
To DeMar DeRozan to the Kings.
This trade, honestly, I have no opinion on. DeMar DeRozan, ever since he left the Raptors, I have not cared about him as a player in any capacity.
Well, I'm going to be honest with you. Like, the DeMar DeRozan actually wasn't like a crazy all-no-no thing, you know? Because DeMar DeRozan is, let's say, a tier list, he's probably like your second tier player, you know? He would be a great second option.
I hate to say it, he's a great second option.
I think a lot of people look at him for a first option, but I don't think DeMar DeRozan has the second option capability.
I think, if you were to put an actual tier list generator in front of me, and you had S, A, B, C, D, whatever. He would be mid-Bs. He would not even be like a high B or a low B, he'd be mid-Bs.
I'd give him B.
And the current players that have an S right now is LeBron, Curry, Jokic. Doncic, players of that caliber would be in my current NBA S tier.
Team leaders. That's what we're talking about right there. I mean, that's what AD would be in there.
Because I wouldn't put AD.
He would be in the lower end of it because I feel like there would have to be some type of discrepancy at the end.
So I feel like he would be my last in S, and him in the first A tier, I would basically have relative.
Oh, that's crazy. Okay. I wouldn't put him in S, though.
I'm saying he basically had the same potential as an A-tier, but he would be a transitional character for me. As if he's not real.
That's a whole thing. The AD...
Okay.
I don't want to press an AD.
You know my real opinion about AD. I really don't like him all that much, so I gave him that a little bit of praise there for nothing.
I know. It's gonna be for nothing because I don't think AD's S tier right now. He has potential to be, but he doesn't. He gets hurt too much. He's too afraid to get hurt. If he averages like he did this year, but plays the whole year next year,
That's whenever I think he's actually S tier caliber. If he can do that consistently, like for like the next couple of years, that would like put him.
I'd also say for him to be an S tier, I want him to win another ring before I really look at him.
I think he would need, for me to really consider it, he would need to like win a ring without LeBron James on his team.
That's not gonna happen right now.
I don't think he's gonna win a ring with LeBron James on his team again.
I'm not gonna debate that either. That's not the topic. We're talking about.
I don't want to debate it. That's just how I feel about it.
Terrible opinion, in my opinion.
I'm just, he's a big Lakers fan. I'm looking at it from what happened last year. I just don't see them really putting up all that much of a fight against a team like the Nuggets. To like, they probably get donkey stomped by the Nuggets.
We're not debating that right now. That's another thing.
Don't want to hear about it.
Screw the Nuggets, all I'm saying.
Jokic would just injure AD, and that would be the end of that.
Anyway,
DeMar DeRozan, man. I think he's going to...
I think I'm more excited about Harrison Barnes going to the Spurs than DeMar DeRozan going to the Kings.
Now that's disrespectful. Stop.
He's just not a fun... That's fun is a bad word.
It's because he don't have a three-point. You're judging him because he's not a
three-point. I like his mid-range.
He's a mid-range slashing player.
It's just not exciting to me. I don't even care about three-point as, like, as your primary thing. That's just not his bag. But at the same time, I just, like, I've never sat down and went, oh, I want to watch a DeMar DeRozan game. That's never came out of my mouth or ran through my head.
I think he's going to help the Kings.
Like, even whenever he was on the Bulls, I was watching a Zach LaVine game, not a DeMar DeRozan game.
That's terrible. That's disrespectful.
That's disrespectful to DeMar DeRozan.
DeMar DeRozan's not that bad. Now you're making him seem like he's a wayward.
No, he averaged 24 fucking points last. He's not a bad player at all. The more exciting player to watch was not DeMar DeRozan.
It's because Zach LaVine's flashy.
Yes.
Yes. Now, flashy is not just all basketball. DeMar DeRozan is basketball.
DeMar DeRozan's fundamental basketball. Fundamentally losing basketball because he's never won anything in his career. But there's a lot of players that haven't.
I mean, now, but a player of his caliber.
Steve Nash. He just constantly went to teams. Like he had free agency this year.
I'll put DeMar DeRozan at a position to where, like, let's say all-time greats. I think he'd be as good as, let's say. I'm trying to be modest. I'm not gonna overdo him. I will say he does have downfalls. I know he has downfalls. That is 110% fact about DeMar DeRozan.
But if you compare him to anybody in the top 75, you're so far out. Like anybody on the official NBA top 75 list.
The official NBA top 75 list is super fucked up.
But even if you were to compare him to anybody on it, he's still not better than anybody on that list.
If they were set the top 75 the way I wish they were, 100% not.
I don't think he's better than anybody on the official.
I don't think he's a top 75 player.
I think he's in the top 200. I think that's a fair assumption. His career's not over, so I'm not going to rank him any higher than that. Once his career's over, I'm sure he'll be closer. Because he's still younger. He's not young by any means, but he's on the younger end of his career still. He's not like LeBron, where he's 40 fucking years old and is going to be forced into retirement soon.
I can see him as like a Clyde the Glide level player. And people look at Clyde the Glide really highly.
I think athleticism, definitely because of it.
But I think because of athleticism and because of the talent DeMar DeRozan has, he is a good player.
You want to know comparatively, the reason you look down at him,
I'm not going to lie to you, is because you have players like LeBron James and KD.
He's just in a bad era. He would have been a great top level player sometime like the 80s or some shit.
Dude would have been Charles Barkley.
Yeah, but like he was stuck into an era of players that were just better than him.
Yeah, he would have had a name, but it just happens. And it's sad, but it happens. DeMar DeRozan, wish you the best of luck, man. But we're gonna get off because, no offense. I don't sort of mid, man. Like, I hate saying it because I do like.
He's a cool player.
At the same time, man.
He's never added to a team to make them win. Of course, he's improved their record.
I think that's because they've always tried to use him as a main role, like he's not that guy. He's not the main guy. He cannot be your lead on the court.
Wasn't he on the Nets and then played a season, had horrible averages? No, it was the Spurs.
I was about to say, what did you say? He was not.
I just remembered white and black jerseys, and I could not remember if it was Nets or Spurs.
And it was guaranteed Spurs. But yeah, no, dude, because he's not. He can't lead the team. As I said, I think him going to the Kings is going to help because they have Sabonis and DeMar DeRozan that are going to be switching between the second.
I still think it'd be a surprise if they made the play-in tournament, though.
No, I'm going to be honest with you.
Actually, I expect them last year. I think they might make the playoffs, but I think they're a first-round exit.
Yeah, 100%. Kings are a first-round exit. If they have to play against Steph again next year,
in the play-ins, they're not making it to the playoffs because Steph will make it a message.
to destroy you in that playoff.
No, he's mad at Fox because Fox did him dirty. Fox was popping off last year.
Yeah, and Clay went 0 for 10, and now he's going to have Buddy Hield out there with him. So if they have to play each other in the play-ins again, Steph's dropping 40, and they're winning by 30. That's just how that goes when Steph's mad at you. Remember what he did to the Celtics? He was just bored.
I don't know. That depends on gameplay, man. Because, no offense, the Warriors last season were barely above 50-50, you know. And a lot of it could have been some errors they had with the roster at the time that they might have changed. But I'm not going to lie.
I don't even know if I consider them losing Klay like a gain for them. Like, he's still Klay Thompson. Like, regardless at the end of the day, he's Klay Thompson.
He is.
So, like, even they lost him. I don't think he was the best player to have as a starter like he was. But, like, I still would have preferred them, like, keep him and have them on him on the bench or something. I feel like he still would have filled that role perfectly for the Warriors.
I don't think he should have. He has too much of an ego to be on the bench.
Oh, yeah, for sure. But there's no...
Same reason that Carmelo had
issues. I think
there
will probably end up being some sort of, like, sign in the middle of the season with the Mavs that moves Klay Thompson to the bench. I don't feel like he's going to fill out the position the way he needs to as a starter. Just because all the other small forwards in the league...
I just don't know who they'd put in.
I don't know. It would have to be someone they sign. Like, if someone ends up... I'm saying only specifically if they manage to make a sign like that, would they move him out of the starting lineup? Because, like, he's just not better than the other small forwards in the position.
True.
That's just not... It's not how he plays. He plays like a shooting guard. Because he's a shooting guard.
All right. Last thing we're going to go over, simply sweep dust, the Wizards getting Valanciunas. What did we mention earlier, man? Wizards are a place to die.
Unfortunately for Valanciunas, he is not a high enough tier player. Like, he's a great player.
He is. He's a good player.
But he's not a high enough tier player to survive the Washington Wizards. Especially if he's there for more than...
Look at him to Russell Westbrook.
Yeah,
he's about to get passed around.
They
like
just have,
hand.
Like, the worst, literally the worst coaching staff, the worst front office. They just...
The reason they brought him in, they need more years.
They just want more tax. Like, last season, 12.8 rebounds, 2 assists, but he shot 55.9%. Anytime you hand him the ball, is a 50-50 chance.
But that's because he shoots down low. That percentage
is insane. He's averaging, like, that's way better than most players in the league. The league average is probably, like, what, 40%? Somewhere in the 40s? He's shooting above average, and he's a big. That's impressive. But he went to the team that guarantees that his career's over.
I don't think their
best chance of ever doing anything was their best chance of ever doing anything was John Wall era, and they go to where they
I think if he doesn't leave within the next two years,
you know the most interesting thing is he didn't even get traded there. He willingly signed there. He was a free agent.
They cut off.
They only gave him $30 million. I don't think I'd sign.
He wasn't making $30 million.
I mean, that's fair.
He was on
the belt.
You know how damn bad they are.
No one's got Zion's badass up there, all those snacks away now to refill.
Because he's gaining another 30 pounds. And then you got DJ McCollum. Has never done anything in his career. But he keeps trying to help these little young wannabe thugs. Not just happen.
You're right. You're absolutely right.
The Pelicans are going to be the most middest team of all time.
Brandon Ingram needs to leave and Zion needs to leave. Zion needs to go somewhere that actually has somewhere that's going to develop him, and Brandon Ingram just needs to be on an established team because
Zion
he is a
diet and
like
somebody as a personal trainer.
If you stuck current Brandon Ingram back on the Lakers, he would be.
Oh, that would be 10.
He would be like first off.
I'm not gonna.
He would be the person walking your ball down, making your plays.
Okay, yeah.
He would be your primary ball handler. That's why.
I don't see that. LeBron's more still the primary ball handler because of pass.
I think Bron this year.
Because he takes it back pass. But they're wanting him to shoot more.
Yeah, Bron's a good catch and shoot player. good in quotations. He's above average. He's better than your average player. So take good as better than your average player. When I say good, it's just better than your average player.
Yeah. But I mean, you can't say better than even just your average. He's hot. You're in the NBA.
Yeah.
High performance state.
He's better than your average NBA player.
Yeah, exactly. So, I mean, he's a professional.
He's been doing it for 20 fucking years. You better be pretty decent at doing it if you're still here after 20 years.
If you're here 20 years and you don't know what you're doing, bro.
If you somehow have a bad jump shot after 20 years, you were just destined to be fucked up somehow.
Listen, that has happened to players.
Yeah.
I've seen people never get... Look, no offense, Russell Westbrook. He's never...
Bro shoots so stiff.
...had an actual fluent jump shot since OKC.
And even then, it was one of the stiffest jump shots ever.
You're daggone right, because that hole was either boot off the back and 20 feet
up and down straight through the fucking hoop.
Exactly.
It either touched the rim and flew away,
or didn't touch anything. Or never.
Exactly.
He's like 2K, man. You either green or don't go in.
Unless you're on the team you're playing against. Then you don't have to green anything and you make it all. As you've seen in every 2K game you've played.
That's not true.
You've watched people like very late release bang the three before.
Yeah.
And it only happens to you or anybody on your team. It only happens against the team.
2K logic. Exactly. 2K logic.
Because the game is dog trash. Fuck you, Ronnie 2K.
No, I like 2K. I play 2K.
Fuck you, Ronnie
2K. I do want to say, screw you, Ronnie. Ronnie's got many personal emails from me. Just out of anger. Anyway, I will say it is time to wrap up the podcast.
Yeah, it's been about an hour now.
Yeah, we've been here for an hour with y'all. We appreciate all the time. Make sure y'all come back. We're gonna try to get these episodes out every week, every Thursday. We're gonna be recording, and then we'll be uploading them every Friday at 9 p.m. So that way, it's kind of like a normal little schedule for y'all. Feel free to leave some comments, man. I created a TikTok account for us that we're going to be posting some clips of. I'm going to be adding some gameplay in there for y'all. Hopefully some gameplay as well with some visual in the future. And we also have our Instagram that I'm going to be updating on when podcasts are coming out or if we're having any bonus features. If y'all want to message us, you can message us directly or anything. If you have any type of any type of input, more or less to say, we're all open to it.
Oh, and we'll be launching a YouTube channel in the near future as well.
Yeah,
these podcasts will all be recorded live for YouTube as well. So it's just another shameless little plug to throw in there.
Yeah, and we're doing this, man, just as something that we're enjoying. We're having a good time with it. We want everyone to have the same feeling. The Cloud Crew is going to.
Man,
be,
I forgot to spark the blunt for the. I completely forgot about the whole concept of the Cloud Crew podcast. I forgot about the blunt, and you put the cart in your pocket at the beginning, and I just forgot about that too.
Cloud Crew is for 20 friendly guys. We don't discriminate anything. We accept everyone here, man. We're a family, and we're simply just looking to have a good time. But see y'all next time.
Later. Adios.
Later.
At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.